When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, I said to you, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores, desperate to get food.
Regulations.
Some regulations.
Have regulation.
What do you think should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law and Profits here on the Fight Lefties Network. I'm your host, King Ginger, where the mercy of the wicked is cruel. That's right, the mercy of the wicked is cruel. And today, we're going to be talking about YouTube's policies and kind of breaking this down, because I think this is really important. Now, I just want to make a point here that there is no video this week. That is because my gear is all packed up and ready to go for a trip I'm going on tomorrow. So for that, because this was kind of last minute and having to get everything ready, you're just stuck with the audio this week. But that's okay. That's okay, because I have some things we need to discuss. So the whole point of this episode will be the social media shadow ban. That is what is happening right now. That is what we're seeing. We're seeing this complete, disgusting suppression of any conservative viewpoint whatsoever. And not only are we seeing a conservative suppression of the viewpoints in terms of deplatforming people like Alex Jones or Laura Loomer, or people like that, we've seen this happen with Milo. We've seen this happen pretty much across the board with all the main conservative figures. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to become more of a problem. And so this brings us to Carlos Massa. Now, Carlos Massa is a Vox journalist. Now, let me just be very clear. For those of you guys who might not know what Vox is, Vox is the epitome of liberal propaganda. Their entire purpose and existence is to attack conservative values. Now, this brings me, of course, to Carlos Massa, who has a show called Strike Through. Now, Strike Through's purpose, the purpose of this show, is literally, now, the irony here cannot be overlooked. Carlos Massa's show, Strike Through, is a show that is dedicated to showing the bias of conservative media. So you have here an incredibly liberal, not even trying to be unbiased platform like Vox. Now, understand, Vox is not just this random YouTube channel made by a few guys in a basement warehouse. Vox is owned by NBC. Vox is the mainstream media, however you define that now. And I think those are important to understand. And this is what makes what's happening with Steven Crowder so crazy, is because you see the failure of the mainstream media to gain the attention of a majority of Americans. Vice is laying people off. Vox is in the middle of a union battle right now, which I think is so funny. These liberals, they create these problems, and then the problems they create generate more problems. So it's interesting, right? Why would Vox have a union if Vox is against corporations? So you literally have a company who's against corporations, who's against conservative, who's against capitalism, yet it is a for-profit company that has a union to fight against capitalism. So I just find that ironic and fitting and strange nonetheless. So let's go back to Carlos Maza. Carlos Maza has a show, Strike Through, whose purpose is to show bias on a bias network like Vox. So it's insane, and it's only going to get worse. So Carlos Maza is upset that nobody likes his content. Now, this is true. If you go and you look at his YouTube page, if you go look at his YouTube videos, you will see a man who has more dislikes than he has likes on most of his content. And so Carlos Maza is not somebody who is well-educated or presents good arguments. He is a man who presents really stupid thoughts as brilliant ideas, and the internet isn't buying it. This is the great thing about the internet. The internet doesn't let you stay in your echo chamber. When you post something on YouTube, you have to compete in the marketplace of ideas. You have to. And the liberal media is unable to do that. They're not able to compete like conservatives are. And I think a lot of that is really, and this should give us hope, I really believe that the conservative marketplace is way bigger than we know. But the conservative businesses are way smaller than what we need. So what you have here is you have a platform like YouTube, or a platform like Twitter, or a platform like Facebook, whose market dominance is conservatives. Conservatives have figured out how to use social media to get their ideas across. And we had to, because all we had was the liberal media. And so what happened in the 2016 election was you saw all the mainstream liberal media talking about how great Hillary Clinton was. Look how awesome she is. She's going to beat Trump. Trump doesn't have a chance. There's not any hope for Trump. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Trump beats Hillary Clinton. And the liberal media is like, wait a minute, we never saw this coming. Where did all this come from? Well, it came from the internet. People were not going to NBC and CNN for information on Donald Trump. They were going to the internet. They were going to people they liked on YouTube. They were going to people they liked on Facebook and on Twitter. And this caused a serious problem for the liberal mainstream media. And so then what happened was instead of saying, hey, why don't we create some amazing liberal content? I know a lot of you guys are like, there's no such thing as amazing liberal content. But there is. You can be wrong on your ideas and still be good in how you present them. And so what we see here with the liberal media is they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to try to compete in the marketplace such as YouTube. What they decided to do was they were going to bully YouTube into forcing conservatives off of their platform. And this is where we're at right now with the apocalypses, with the deplatforming. We're seeing liberal mega corporations, and Stephen Crowder is absolutely right about this. This is about corporations versus private individuals who are creating stuff and posting it on YouTube. Even though I would consider Stephen Crowder, you know, pretty big, he is still an independent. And when it comes to someone like NBC, he's not even close. So, but he might be now. I imagine he sold a lot of mugs this week. So Stephen Crowder is making these videos. He's telling people about Carlos Maza, and he's destroying Carlos Maza, his ideas and his worldview, and he's making pretty cutting jokes about Carlos. Now, No, I don't think all his jokes are good. I don't think all his jokes are, you know, from a Christian worldview. I think he tends to be a little bit vulgar, more not so much in a serrated edge way. But here's the problem. The problem is Carlos Massa is upset that Steven Crowder is coming after him harshly and sharply. And instead of Carlos Massa making videos to refute his claims, instead of Carlos Massa saying, hey, let's have an open debate, let's have an open dialogue, let's have a discussion, or even using the power of NBC to come after what Steven Crowder believes, instead of doing that, Carlos Massa says, we need to delete his YouTube channel. And YouTube says, no, we're not going to delete your YouTube channel. Oh, well, we need to demonetize him. And YouTube says, well, here are some specifics in the why we demonetized him. If he fixed that, we'll monetize him again. So YouTube is actually, for the first time, I think, I remember, YouTube is actually saying, hey, we're not going to just take him down because you don't like what he said. And I think YouTube should be congratulated for that. I don't think they should demonetize him because Carlos doesn't like what he said. And I think there were several people at YouTube tweeting to Carlos Massa different things. So you had, at one time they said, well, we'll monetize him after he gets rid of his socialism is for fig shirt. And Carlos blew up and then someone replied and said, well, for clarification, we're not going to monetize him even after he does that. There's some other things too. But they never say what those things are clearly because they keep that secret, which should tell you something about YouTube. But anyway, in this instance, I think YouTube should be, I don't think they should be congratulated for demonetizing Steven Crowder. I think that's one problem. But in the way that they said, no, we're not going to delete his channel because he said offensive things, I think that is a point where conservatives should get behind YouTube and at least give them a golf clap and say thank you. Now, the story gets deeper. It doesn't stop there. Because at the time this was happening, and maybe I feel like, well, let me just explain what happened before I give my conspiracy theory as to what happened. But so basically, at the same time all of this is happening, Carlos Massa is asking for people who run ads on YouTube to pull away from YouTube, stop advertising on YouTube, stop funding them. They don't really care about the gays. YouTube doesn't care about the gays. They might do a gay pride video every once in a while. They might have a rainbow logo every now and then, but ultimately YouTube doesn't care about the gays because people like Steven Crowder are allowed to disagree with me. And so it wasn't enough. This is the liberal agenda. It's not enough to just demonetize someone. It's not enough to take money away from them. They have to be rooted out of existence. And that's the only thing that Carlos Massa could do. Now, here's the problem. A lot of the independent creators on YouTube, even though they are liberal, they have a very amazing view of the openness of YouTube and what it should be. Or, well, maybe it's more nostalgic in terms of what YouTube used to be. But remember when YouTube just first started, you could upload a video of, say, like some political point that you have, and people could actually reply to your video with a video. And it was this debate, palace. It was a palace for people to come and debate. I think Christians and atheists, a lot of them really got their start 10 or 11 years ago on YouTube by just debating atheists using this feature. And then eventually, of course, that was removed. And now, so we have a YouTube platform that was originally for debate and open discussion, and now it's become, from YouTube, oh no, we have to be sustained by the advertisers, and now we have to do what the advertisers want. So the gays, the homosexuals go and they contact all the advertisers that advertise a single video on a YouTube channel. And now all of a sudden, all of the YouTube ad revenue is gone. And YouTube is freaking out because they have to figure out a way that they can host 24 hours worth of videos every minute. Not to mention the broadband speeds required and the data centers required. I don't even know. I have enough time finding a hard drive big enough for the video work I do. I have no idea how YouTube manages this. I don't get it. But anyway, they need the ad revenue to be able to fund this operation. It's not something that anybody can just set up. So when Carlos Maza says, hey, we're just going to deplatform, we're just going to get all the ads removed from YouTube. Any YouTube video that is against homosexuality or just says something I don't like, we're going to look at the sponsors of that video and we're going to call them and we're going to use the full force of the homosexual lobbies to make sure that they don't give YouTube a single penny. And that backfires on them. That backfires on them because you have thousands of content creators who work out of their home, who are making just enough money to support their family making YouTube videos, and you're telling them that YouTube needs to be stricter on the videos in which they monetize. And so now it's hard for content creators who aren't Christians versus liberals, they're just making video game channels, right? They're just making funny videos. They're just making sketch comedy. They're not trying to even be involved in this political stuff, but their videos are randomly demonetized too. So what we have here, and I've said this over and over again, and I hope it's really clear here. There is something foundational to capitalism that protects against evil. And this is why we always have to side with capitalism over socialism or any other economic policy. Because there is something that God has created that is in the very foundation of capitalism that protects people from evil. An example of this we could see is with Starbucks. I mean, not Starbucks, with Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is attacked by the homosexual lobbies. And the very next week, you have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people line up, lines out the door to Chick-fil-A to protect Chick-fil-A against evil. Same thing happened with Hobby Lobby. Same thing happens in the opposite direction with boycotts, such as what I'm doing with Red Petition, and we'll talk about that later. But there is something foundational to it. And here's another more concrete example. Let's say you're a tool maker and you have these tools that everybody's buying. However, you figure, hey, you know what? If I just go cheap on this part here, I can still make the tool and make more profit. And in result of doing that, people die. The tool is unsafe. People get electrocuted. Whatever happens, happens. It becomes more dangerous to the consumer. So the consumers stop buying your stuff. And again, inherently in capitalism, it's a way to stop evil. Capitalism requires a love of your neighbor. And without that, capitalism doesn't work. And so what you have here are these content creators who aren't even Christians. If you look at people like Keemstar and Leon Lush, they're not Christians. Their videos are vulgar and not at all from a Christian worldview. And they're having to side with Steven Crowder because what Carlos Maza is doing is going to shut down their income every week. And so what happened was this demonetization thing happened, and they threw out, YouTube throws out this new monetization policy that's going to ban people from making, being white supremacists or defending white supremacy on their network. And this launched it right in the very midst of what is happening with Carlos Maza and Steven Crowder. This is, I think, too perfect for it to be a coincidence. I understand that YouTube's a giant bureaucracy, and they say we were going to do this new monetization policy well before this stuff with Carlos Maza. It just so happened by sheer happenstance that it happened during this Carlos Maza Vox adpocalypse. And what happened was YouTube channels all over YouTube got demonetized. So this made everything way worse, as you can imagine. Just imagine for a moment how much worse this made it. And instead of Carlos Maza saying, hey, you know what? This was a really bad idea. Carlos Maza goes and says, hey, why is my friend Ford, why is his YouTube channel about the history of white supremacy demonetized? This is unacceptable, YouTube. How dare you? How dare you? So now Carlos Maza is mad at YouTube for implementing a demonetization policy against white supremacy because the algorithm doesn't determine whether it's a legitimate video about the history of white supremacy or whether it's not, it's promoting white supremacy, because the YouTube algorithm just runs through the video and says, well, that's a symbol in this video that looks like a swastika. Can't monetize this video, even though if it's a legitimate history video. And Carlos Maza, who I guess knows this Ford guy, is mad at YouTube, is even angrier at YouTube. And I think YouTube decided to roll out this monetization policy right in the midst of this so that Carlos Maza becomes the enemy of this policy and everybody blames him. I absolutely believe that's what happened. I think it was purposeful on YouTube's part, even though they deny it and say, no, this was going to come out months before. It's just a coincidence it happened during this. So now you have Carlos Maza versus all the YouTube creators. And the YouTube creators who don't support the liberal agenda are mad at Carlos because now it's going to be harder for them to get a paycheck. And this is the glory of capitalism, guys. This is the glory of capitalism. This is why Carlos Maza is losing right now. Because not only is he pushing for YouTube to just deplatform every conservative voice out there, in the process of doing so, YouTube hurts even the liberal platforms. See, this is beautiful. This is glorious. And this is a time where Christians should just sit back, clap their hands, wipe their hands and brush the dirt off the shoulders. Cuz this is very, very interesting to see. I'm not saying don't make content when I say step back. I'm just saying just get 10,000 feet up for a minute. Get 10,000 feet up and look at what's happening to a company who is trying to appease the liberal agenda. They can't do it. The liberal agenda can't be appeased. It's Pride Month right now. And what was trending on Twitter was LGBT spokespeople being upset that every June, all these businesses fly their rainbow logos. And they're saying this is just profiting off of gays for capitalism, is what they say. This is just profiting off the gays. But I don't think they do it to profit off the gays. The homosexual the homosexual agenda, the homosexual lobby is not big enough to be able to profit from. It's like trying to create a business that just appeases to those who believe in a reformed theology. It's not big enough. It can only get so big. Right? And so this is why we need giant Christian corporations that can counter these things. But anyway, back to my point. So the companies are every June for Pride Month, they're making these bastardized versions of their logos with the rainbow flag, or they're creating these marketing campaigns. It's all, oh, we care about homosexuals, we care about homosexuals. And now they're saying, well, hey, wait a minute. You guys can't do that just in June. You should do that 365 days a year. However, you know, we have a Black History Month. You know, we have people say the same thing. We don't need a Black History Month. We should just celebrate what blacks have done in our culture 365 days a year, to which I agree. When you give someone a special month, you're not really assimilating them into the culture normally. But anyway, but I think that these corporations are doing this every June because they don't want to be bullied or fear the homosexual lobbyist groups. So see, you can't garner true loyalty by bullying people all the time. It just doesn't work that way. And Carlos thought he was doing this great thing for the homosexual agenda, and now all of YouTube hates his guts. He's the enemy of YouTube content creators. He's the enemy of independent media. He's the enemy. And Steven Crowder framed this battle perfectly by saying this is about independent content creators versus large socialist agenda-based corporations. This is the fight. It's about the legacy media trying to be heard by acts of essential violence upon YouTube content creators, if that's what it takes. And so what's happening now is going to be a massive search for a new YouTube. It's going to be, we already have the massive search for the new Facebook. We already have the massive search for the new Twitter. But now there's really, really going to be a search for the new YouTube. And perhaps that's BitChutes, I think is the name of the website. I haven't uploaded any content on there lately, ever. Actually, I've just come across it lately. So it might be an interesting website to check out and see how that goes. But that's the issue here. The issue is, how do the liberals compete in the marketplace if ideas are freely available? So on Wednesday, June 5th, YouTube released a pretty terrible statement, which is going to go in line with our ongoing work to tackle hate, reducing borderline content and raising up authoritative voices. This is from YouTube's official blog. And I'm going to read the whole thing because I think it's important, but I'm going to emphasize specific points. In addition to removing videos that violate our policies, we also want to reduce the spread of content that comes right up to the line. Just stop there. So we have a set amount of policies in place. So we're going to get rid of anything that violates our policies, but we want to reduce the spread of content that just comes up to the line of it. How authoritarian is that? And who determines what is that line? Who determines that? In January, we piloted an update to our system in the U.S. to limit recommendations of, quote, borderline content and harmful misinformation, such as videos promoting a phony miracle cure for a serious illness or claiming the earth is flat. This is interesting because I used to watch, you know, I used to watch and be recommended all the time a bunch of flat earth debunking videos. I used to get them like almost every day, and I would watch them. They were really interesting to me. I really appreciated them. And then all of a sudden, I just realized when I was reading this that I haven't got any Flat Earth debunking videos lately. And that makes me sad because I like to see Flat Earth being debunked. So the algorithm obviously isn't, I don't think the algorithm is working to differentiate between the Flat Earth videos that are actually debunking Flat Earth and videos in which that are promoting Flat Earth as a legitimate thing. And so anyway, it's sad that this is where we're at right now. But again, it continues. We're looking to bring this updated system to more countries by the end of 2019. Thanks to this change, the number of views this type of content gets from recommendations have dropped by over 50% in the U.S. Our systems are also getting smarter about what types of videos should get this treatment, and we'll be able to apply it to even more borderline videos moving forward. As we do this, listen to this. This is very important. So they've already said that they are going to get rid of borderline content. So let's just say, for example, you have a video about capitalism, and this is infringing on that line that violates YouTube's policies because you're talking about socialism and the history of socialism, Nazis, and all these things. So it's not exactly defending Nazis. However, you're not getting the views that you should anymore because you're just not being recommended. And it's very important to be recommended in YouTube's world, because like I said, they get 24 hours of video content every minute, right? So if you got 24 hours of video content every minute, for your video to be seen in that is incredibly impossible without YouTube's algorithm actually recommending you. So for them to say that, hey, we're not going to recommend you anymore is a big deal, just because you're borderline content, whatever that means. That's a big deal. And so they say, as we do this, we'll also start raising up more authoritative content in its recommendations, building on the changes made to news last year. For example, if a user is watching a video that comes close to violating our policies, our systems may include more videos from authoritative sources, in parentheses, like top news channels, in the Watch Next panel. Now we're having a problem. Because now YouTube is deciding who those authorities are. They're deciding for you how to think, what to watch, and who to watch. That's scary. And that's a problem. I think it's something that we Christians need to take very seriously. And I've said this several times, that we are in a YouTube dark age. We're in a YouTube dark age, or a digital dark age, more specifically. We're in a digital dark age, which brings us back to the times before the Reformation, back to the times before the printing press, before those times, before Gutenberg gave us the greatest gift in the past 1,000 years. Before that happened, what you saw was elitist clergy at the top of the top in the ivoriest of ivory towers, distributing information to who they wanted, distributing books to only those they would allow to learn to read, distributing information only in their language. And I have to ask, how is this any different? The leaders of Silicon Valley are the gods of our day. They are the ones we look to, we worship, we adore, we use their product. We all bow down at their idol. We all do it. We all use their content. We need the platforms that they make to be able to feed our children. And so when they come out and they say, look, you have to follow our rules. If you don't follow our rules, if you don't watch the stuff that we want you to see, if you don't say the things that we want you to say, then we're going to shut you down. We're going to shut you down. And this is what concerns me. This is what bothers me the most. what Gutenberg did was he created a system, an invention that allowed for the freely distributed, that allowed for freely distributing information. That's what Gutenberg did. And that was revolutionary. That was a breakthrough. And then came the internet, which multiplied what Gutenberg did a billion times. I don't think we could ever calculate the difference between what Gutenberg's printing press and the internet made for society. We'll never be able to calculate that difference. So now what we're having is we're having the priest of our age, the clergy of our age, place us back in a digital dark age that says you can only receive the information that we approve for you. And if you do happen to stumble across something that doesn't conform to our values, we'll make sure one of our multi-million, billion-dollar organizations that produce propaganda is fed to you to make sure that you're set right. That is terrifying. And we're only in the infant stages of it. And so, this is a time where we as Christians really need to come together and ask ourselves, what are we going to do to combat this? What are we going to do to stop this? My assumption at the moment is the internet, in its current foundation, is going to die very soon. The internet has been useful for a time, but it's become so overwhelmingly run by crony capitalists who use the government to make it harder and more restrictive for other organizations to come and compete. We have to have a new internet because it's going to start with conservative views. And while they're getting rid of conservatives and people are making a big stink about it, and Ben Shapiro's talking about it, and Steven Crowder's talking about it, and everybody's talking about the conservative voices being deplatformed, right in the peak of that anger and that aggression that is right to have, but right in the midst of that furnace, they're going to start quietly deplatforming Christians. And that's not going to get this coverage from all these political right-wing conservatives who don't like to bring Christianity into their politics. So they're not going to come out and defend Christians for saying homosexuality is a sin. They're going to just be deplatformed. And they'll focus on, the conservative movement will focus on their own. I have no doubt about that. But as far as those who might still be conservatives but have a much more stronger biblical Christian foundation, well, they're going to go by the wayside. So all that to say, that Jesus Christ is on his throne and he is ruling and reigning, and I am still post-millennial, and I believe that things are going to get better, but sometimes it takes problems like this to see a weakness or a leak in the dam before we can fix it. And I think this is ultimately going to lead to a solution that is better than the internet in its present state. I think that's what's going to happen. But it's not going to happen if Christians don't invest in corporations and invest in companies and invest in technology and new apps and do that immediately. So with all that being said, I want to, for those of you guys that don't know, I started a website called redpetition.com. Redpetition.com is only, it only has a single use at the moment. And I hope to expand its use later as people learn about this one instance, and maybe we can move on to something else in the future. But essentially, with Netflix and Disney coming after Georgia for passing the abortion ban, the heartbeat bill, which, by the way, isn't the greatest bill at all, but it's caused such an incredible amount of disturbance that it's time to come in and defend the state of Georgia against the attacks from these liberal organizations. And so Netflix and Disney and other studios have all come out and said, hey, we're not going to mess around in Georgia if these abortion laws are still in effect. And so the result of that has been Netflix and Disney threatening to boycott and move their studios and all their investments out of Georgia, which, of course, they are free to do. That's why we believe in a system where every state can govern themselves independently. However, I feel like there needs to be a statement made when a business does those sort of things, because, as I said, capitalism is a way to counter evil that God has given us. So I started redpetition.com, and essentially what this is pretty basic, but it allows you to go to redpetition.com, fill out the form, and it'll tell you how to cancel Netflix, cancel Hulu. And then it asks, were you planning on getting a Disney Plus subscription later this year but decided not to because they're against abortion, they're in favor of abortion? And you can select that option as well. But every time you select that option and put in your email, it calculates your total yearly investment in Netflix and Hulu and Disney. And so that creates this massive red number. We say, send a red number from across the red states to these organizations to let them know the conservatives have value. The conservative values have an actual value. So what I'd like you guys to do, if you haven't yet, if you've canceled Netflix or thinking about canceling Netflix, or if you canceled Netflix a year or two ago and haven't gone back because of the stuff that they're doing, go to redpetition.com and let us know. That way we can calculate the value of the conservative movement. Now, a lot of people are saying, man, well, I mean, it's only at, let me look out here. I'll check it right now. We'll find out exactly what the total is currently at the time of recording. Whoa. Okay. Wow. Okay. So we've had a jump today. So the money lost per year for Netflix based on conservatives who have canceled their Netflix subscription is $200,000. $200,000 a year is gone. Let's just say for the ease of this, $250,000. Now Hulu and Disney is about $93,000, I mean $94,000 in total. So you have here essentially well over $250,000 that is gone from streaming media platforms. Now, a lot of people see this and go, well, hey, man, Netflix makes $1 billion a year. They're billions and billions of dollars. They're all over the world. You only have maybe 2,000 people that signed up. That's not a lot. They're not going to care about that. They probably lose 2,000 members a month, but they gain maybe 5 or 10,000 a month. I mean, it's probably way more than that, but you get the picture. The 2,000 members, you're not going to be able to, they don't even care about that. To which I say, that's not the point. The point of this is not just to say, look how much money Netflix is losing, but it's to say to investors and Christian media companies, look how much money is available to you guys out there. Look how much money is available. $300,000 a year is a lot to fight Laugh Feast Studio. $300,000 is a lot to Apologia Studios. $300,000 is a lot to YouTube creators who sit at home and make YouTube videos every day. It's a lot. And so the point is to show that there is a market for good Christian content, not cheesy stuff, not gentle stuff, but really good, well-produced content that's edgy, that makes a statement, that means something, that matters. And so that's what Red Petition is for. And I hope you guys go to redpetition.com and sign up. And remember, I know $300,000 isn't a lot to Netflix, but I don't think a stone was a very fearful thing for Goliath either. And it wound up killing him. So, anyways, that does it for this episode of Law and Profits. Thank you guys so much for listening in. Please contact me on Twitter. Let me know what you think of this show. Let me know what you'd like to hear me talk about. Let me know how God has blessed you through this show and what I've been talking about. I really hope that you enjoy yourself and you continue to watch. Make sure you sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and you can sign up and get a membership there. Now, I know what you're thinking. There's not a lot of content on there yet. Well, it's true. There's a lot of content being developed. It's coming. But look, every subscriber that signs up to Fight Laugh Feast, every subscriber that signs up adds to the ability for them to provide way more content. So again, if you've canceled your Netflix subscription in the past week, if you've canceled Hulu or whatever, redirect that money. Don't just buy another latte every month. Redirect that money. Put it into people who really have a vision and a dream to maybe one day even take over Netflix. And by creating better content, by getting more subscribers. So again, that's it for this episode of Law and Profits. And until next week, I'll see you later.